The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. I hope you all had a great weekend. And, yeah, I did. I had a good weekend. And, wait, a bit of an audio problem with one of our guys, but no big deal. Hey, look, why don't you give me a call? Okay, we have five open lines. Woo, 877-207-2276. All right, now, I'm going to give you guys a heads up. I've been waiting. Oh, I got noise, got outside. I've been waiting to get kicked off of YouTube, and it's going to happen, because I still say things that leftists don't want me to say, and that's okay. So we're moving over to Odyssey, where it cannot be taken down. And so Odyssey, O-D-Y, I'm just trying to tell you, O-D-Y-S-S-Y-E-E, okay? If you go to, .com it is, if you go to carm.org, on the right-hand side of the page of the Carm site, you'll see something that says Matt Slick Live. And just click on that big black box, and it'll take you to another page, and then you can watch the show. What we're going to be doing is streaming it out to Odyssey. That's where it's going. Odyssey is a free speech platform, and we know that YouTube is not really for free speech. They have their narrow bands of ideas, and they're leftist, you know, from Google. So people have moved over to Odyssey. We're doing the same thing because it's a blockchain based and it can't be removed. So that's what we're doing. And I would just urge that if people want to watch the show, that you can do that. And all you got to do is go to odyssey.com or just go to the Carm website. It says create your own free Odyssey account today up there. You can do that as well. And I think it's a good idea to do. And you can check it out. And that's where we're going. You know, it's okay. Because this is what's happening as the left becomes less tolerant and doesn't want us to say certain things. So there you go. And we'll be doing some more stuff as well. All right. Now, we have four open lines, 877-207-2276. And there was something else. I can't remember what it was. Darn. What was that? It's okay. I got something going on. Anyway, no big deal. All right, four open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Anthony from Des Moines, Iowa. Anthony, welcome. You're on the air.
Professor, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there, man. What do you got, buddy?
You always know it's me because that's how I address you.
that's right. That's how you address me. Yep.
Okay, buddy.
No problem.
My question is, do you feel that there's a special place where our pets go when they die? Now, I know there's no scriptural evidence to say that they go to heaven or anything, but, and I've just got to tell you from my heart, I believe that I know how much Jesus loves us, and I know that he loves our pets because he created them. I remember one time when I was in jail, I was worried about my cats, and I asked one of the brothers, I said, do you think God loves my cats? And you know what he told me? And it was profound. He said, of course he loves them. He made them. And you know what? I've never forgotten that. Okay. And I've heard different aspects. I've heard pastors say, well, no, you won't get to see him again because that was here on earth, and the glory and the enjoyment of being with Jesus, you won't even want that anymore, and this type of thing. But I just, the reason I make this question,
so what's your question?
I ask this question is, do you think that our pets that we love so much, do you think that they go to a special place when they die?
No, I think they just stop existing. That's what I believe. Okay. They don't have the quality that we have of being made in God's image.
They don't have a spirit.
Right, in that sense. And they're not made in God's image. I don't know of anything in Scripture that says when animals die, because it's not just an issue of pets, it's animals, that any animal that dies, like a duck, you know, a fish, does it go to some other world? No. There's nothing in Scripture that teaches that. There is Scripture that teaches that we do. And what people often do is say, well, it has to do with pets, because I love my pet, so therefore it's going to be different. Not necessarily. Because what about fish? What about mollusks, worms, flies, mosquitoes? These are all creatures that God made. Does he love them in that same sense? And they all die, they go to some place? There's nothing in Scripture that says so. So we've got to be careful to not submit scriptural truth to human sentimentality. We've got to be careful not to do that. So, I mean, I have a pet that I had years ago, and he's passed away. His name's Punchface. Punchface.
Aww.
And, yeah, he was an incredible cat. And, I mean, I'm not kidding. I'd bring my dates home to meet him, and they thought it was a big come-on. And they would say afterwards, that cat's amazing. He would fetch, play tag, hide and seek, he'd get in the shower with me. He would, you know, I get stories and stories, and I still miss him to this day. Do I believe I'll see him again? No, I don't. That's just me.
Well, Matt, I guess the basis for my question, and not having a scriptural foundation for it, but again, I just feel that as much as I had to have a kitty that I had for 18 years. I had to have him put down the day before
it hurts,
Labor too. Day. And I cry every day because, you know, because he was my little boy. He was a member of my family.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I got one kitty left.
And yeah.
When I had to take him out to the vet, and they told me he had to be euthanized, I'll tell you what, sir, I've had to make that decision three times, and I told the doctor, I said, I hate to make this decision, and she said, why? And I said, because I believe that God only has the authority to take life. He has the authority to give life.
What if you're fishing, you got to be careful.
Okay, Matt, so the second part of my question is, since I'm talking about euthanizing pets, what do you feel about people that get a hold of doctors and, you know, they've got a severe terminal illness, cancer, whatever it may be? Do you think that doctors who perform euthanasia, or do you think that people who select that, are they going to be lost? Are they going to be judged for that?
Yeah, we'll all be judged. God is the right who has that. He has the right to take life, but so does the government. And so the government has the right to use the sword for capital punishment. So it's given to the government. The issue of euthanasia is not an easy one to deal with. My initial reaction is to say it's bad. But I had to be careful because I don't know all situations in all circumstances to say it's always wrong. My implication is to say yes, but...
I guess... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir. I guess my question is, since doctors take a Hippocratic oath when they become doctors...
Right, to do no harm.
And basically that means that they're supposed to preserve life and do no harm and
yes,
so on and so
yes,
forth.
Yes, but it's not that simple. Because what do you do? When my wife and I lost our son Jacob, they said that he had a birth defect. They knew he was going to be born with it. They said, we can put him on machines and keep him alive. Well, what do we do? Do we say, yes, let's do that, and then he might suffer? Because he had underformed lungs and something else going on, and they said the combo is not good. And it wasn't like, it's inconvenient, we'll just do it. No. I'm not saying everything that was going on, but there was a lot that was wrong genetically. And he had major birth defects. Well, we could have kept him alive, and we decided not to. We decided to let God take him, let the natural course go. So the doctors had to talk to us about that because we had that option. So what do you do then? That's a real one we had to deal with, and it was not easy. And
well, you know, Matt, the reason I bring the question up is because my wife asked me one time. She said, because we had a cat. We had four cats. I'm down to one right now. And one of my kitties, I delayed in doing what I had to do because I just didn't want to let him go. And I learned from that. And so in two more instances, I took immediate action. And when I was told this is the humane thing to do, because I don't want to see anybody that I love suffer. And I think that's from the heart of Christ.
Yes, I understand, but it's not that simple. A doctor's not supposed to harm anybody, but what if he has to break a bone in order to reset it? What do you do?
Well,
it's just not... Hold on. I'm just saying it's not that easy. It's just not that easy. And so there's lots of questions that come into play here. But nevertheless, do pets go to heaven? I don't see any biblical evidence for that. There is a paradise earth. If somehow, when I get there, I get to paradise, I get able to see things and, you know, the new heavens, new earth, all that, and my old cat Punchface is there, then praise God. But if he's not, that's okay. Praise God. And I'm
now,
just
Matt,
not going to worry
in
about
the new, in the new, Matt, in the new earth that we're going to live in, is there going to be animals? And I know that tells us in
yes.
the scripture that the predatory nature of animals is not going to be. The lions lay down with the lamb, and the child
yes.
plays
yes.
in the
There's
hole
gonna be,
where the snake is.
Yes, there are going to be animals in paradise earth. Yes, because God's going to remake it like it was before. And just remember this.
So why wouldn't why wouldn't you bring our pets back?
Okay.
That's a question we can't answer.
Here we go. Hold on. When a creature ceases to exist, it no longer is that same creature if a clone of it is produced. The continuity issue. If a creature, like a cat, ceases to exist upon its death here, then it's not the same animal that would exist if it was a copy was made.
Because he can't be glorified and resurrected.
No, whoa. No. Okay, you're adding too many things in too quickly, and always when I do this kind of thing, I have to go through one point at a time, lay each one down, and then address them
okay.
so we build a foundation. And then what people often do is they jump ahead. No, don't do that yet. You're always going to do it logically and sequentially. But I'm just saying that's the case. Another possibility is, just a logical possibility, is that if God is able to do something like this, and if he chooses to, can he then reach back in time and actually take that same animal and put it into the... These are just philosophical questions we don't have answers to. But Scripture doesn't teach us that animals, that the ones we love, become alive afterwards. It just doesn't say that. So we have to move that way, and that's it. It doesn't say it, okay?
Okay. Well...
All right.
It was just something I've been thinking about for a long time, and I've had a lot of questions. I've never really asked anybody except for you.
Yeah, a lot of people ask the question, and I've written articles on it on Carm. Okay?
Can I ask you one final question? I know you got a lot of callers.
Yeah. Go ahead.
And I believe this. That day that I had to take... Excuse me. I had to take my tiger out to the vet...
Sorry, it's a bad time for a break.
Do you think Jesus cried with me?
Of course. Yeah, he was there with you. Sure. Okay. We got to go, buddy.
Thanks,
Sorry
man.
About
I'll
that.
Let you go, brother.
All right. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. Give me a call, all right? We have four open lines. 877-207-2276. I just want to start letting you guys know we're moving over to Odyssey.com, O-D-Y-S-E-E.com. It's a video format because we don't trust YouTube. And YouTube is pulling the plug on conservatives. So Odyssey is where a lot of people are going. There's a lot of there's several different video format things out there. Rumble, Vimeo, and Odyssey is one. That's where we've chosen to go down because it can't be taken down. It's a blockchain system. And so we just urging you guys, go over there, and you can go to the CARM.org website, CARM.org. On the right-hand side of the homepage, you'll see a Matchlick Live thing. Click at it, and then you'll see it says create your own Odyssey account in the top paragraph there. And you can go check it out, okay? We have three channels, too, on CARM, and it's growing. Growing slowly, like YouTube did, but we're going to be doing a lot there. All right, four open lines. Give me a call, 877-220-7226. Let's get to Nick from Richmond, Virginia. Nick, welcome. You're on the air. Are you there?
Hey, Mr. Slick. Thanks for having me on.
All right, man. Hey, so what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, so my question is regarding Romans 9. The controversial section where Paul talks about God's purpose of election. I have kind of a two-part question, but the first part would be where Paul says that God, Jacob he loved and Esau he hated. What is your understanding of that verse as far as the hated? I know some people say that it's not talking about individually. Some people refer to nations. What's your understanding of that passage?
Well, it's not nations, because it doesn't make sense to say it's nations. And I've debated this many times. I've written articles on Romans 9 in this section, so I'm quite familiar with it. And I'll show you why it's not nations. You start in verse 9. For this is the word of promise. At this time will come, Sarah shall have a son. Not only this, but there was Rebecca also, when she had conceived twins by one man, our father Isaac. And though twins were not yet born and had not done anything good or bad, so that God's purpose, according to his choice, would stand, not because of works, but because of him who calls, it was said to her, the older will serve the younger, just as written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Now let's just say that Jacob and Esau represent nations. He loves one nation over another nation. Any big deal with that? Would you say, yeah, that makes sense, right? You know? You with me? Are you there?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. So, did you hear my question?
I missed your question. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's all right. So, if it's talking about nations, where God just, not because of anything they would do, he just loves one nation and hates another nation, is that really that big of a deal? Are you there? Okay. Yeah.
You're saying if it is talking about nations, is that big of a deal?
Yeah, I mean, is it pretty much fair? Because in nations, people make their choices, free will choices, and God will love the nation that does good, and he'll hate the nation that does bad. So that's what the people who hold that position are teaching. It's about nations, right? It's not that big a deal. I mean, that makes sense, right?
Well, I guess it would depend on what our understanding of hate.
The word is hate.
A part of my question.
The word is hate, not just love less.
Right.
Okay, that's what it is. Miseo.
Right.
Misogynist, right? Misanthrope. Miseo, and it means to hate. Okay, now if it's nations, here's the thing, okay, I'm going to help you out. If it's nations that's being spoken of here, then why is the objection raised in the next sentence? What shall we say? There's no injustice with God, is it? May never be. You see, if it's just a group of people, he loves this group of people over that group of people, well, why would he do that? Well, obviously, because of what the group of people does and what they like. This group of people serves God, that group of people doesn't serve God. So he loves them and he hates them. That's the idea behind the idea of it being nations. But if it's individuals, Jacob I love, that individual, and Esau I hated, that individual, then you raise the question, well, wait a minute, is that fair? What happens in the text? Just as written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated, but what shall we say then? There is no injustice with God, is there? May never be. It makes sense to ask the question, if God is dealing with individuals, it doesn't make sense to ask the question if he's dealing with nation groups. And he goes on. He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. The whom in the Greek is in the singular. I will have mercy on whom I have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I have compassion. So it does not depend upon the man who wills or the man who runs, but upon God who has mercy. This isn't talking about groups of people. Because he says, whom, which is singular, Jacob and Esau, which are singular, the man who runs, singular, right?
Right.
Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this purpose I raised you up. That's a singular individual, Pharaoh, to demonstrate my power in you. It's an individual, that my name might be proclaimed throughout the whole earth. So then he has mercy on whom, that's in the singular in the Greek, whom he desires. And he has, and he hardens whom he desires. You've got to understand something about the Greek. See, when we say you, for example, it can be you singular, it can be you plural. But in Greek, that those singularities and pluralities are embedded in the text. It doesn't translate into English very well, but the whom is singular. It's not plural. In those whom he desires, it's him or he in singular. So he has mercy on whom he desires, on the individual he has desires, he hardens whom he desires. Well, if that's the case, then people are going to say, well, no, man, I don't agree with that. Okay, then you're saying and you don't like it. Well, the next question here, the next statement is, well, you'll say to me then, why does he still find fault for who resists his will? It's another complaint. The complaint only makes sense if he's talking about individuals. On the contrary, who are you? Right. Oh, man. That's an individual who answers back to God. The thing molded will not say to the molder, why did you make me like this? Not us. This is not a nation talking. This is individuals, because he says, oh, man. This is so clear. Now, or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use? So I did research on the word vessel. When it says one vessel, always is in reference to individual people, not nations. Period. Okay?
Right. Okay.
What if God, although willing to demonstrate his wrath and make his power known, endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction? And he did so to make known the riches of his glory upon vessels of mercy, which he prepared beforehand for glory. The reason people have problems with this verse is because they follow the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus. He's dressed in a woman's nightgown. He's standing at the door of your heart asking permission for you, in your wisdom, to let him in. Because that's what fairness is. It's called humanist philosophy. Fairness is based upon what we think it should be, not what God says. This is why Romans 9, you're right, it's controversial. But Romans 9 is a butt-kicker. Because it teaches God's sovereignty, not man's sovereignty. We've got a break. Hold on. I know you guys have probably questions and comments. We'll get right back, okay? Hold on. Folks, four open lines. You want to give me a call? 877-207-2276. Give me a call about this if you want or something else. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, folks, we're having a lot of fun in the chat room during the breaks, during the break there. So, years ago, I started teasing women about sandwiches, my wife in particular, because in VeggieTales, Queen Esther, the queen was kicked out of the kingdom because she didn't make her king a sandwich. So I've always said that and just joked about it. We're in there talking. Now we're thinking, hey, wait a minute. If we ever have a CARM meeting someplace, we have to have a sandwich making contest. So we're having fun. And if you want to participate in that chat, all you got to do is go to CARM.org, CARM.org. In the right-hand side, you'll find the link and the information for watching the show. It's not a big deal. We do have four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. All right. Richard said the women make them, but we can judge them, the sandwiches. Hey, we have fun. Okay, sorry about that, Richard. I mean, Nick. I'm messing up. Nick, you're back on here. Okay.
Yeah, so my second part to my question was a couple verses after that where Paul says, does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? Is there any reason that he uses the phrase same lump? Is there any unique meaning behind that?
Mm-mm. Not that I'm aware of. When I look at it, let's see. Same lump.
Well, I guess I've heard people describe it as the same lump is meaning all sinful, guilty, condemned, sinful humanity, or is there just no meaning behind the same lump?
Oh, yeah, in the context, that's what it means, yeah. A potter have it right over the clay. The potter's referenced in God. What's clay? Well, it's the whom he makes. He from the same lump, one vessel for honorable use, another for the common use. He's just drawing an analogy. The potter has the right to do with his pottery as he wants. God has the right to do with his creation as he desires. That's what's going on there. And this is hard for people to understand, but once you get it and once you submit to it, it frees you. Because a lot of people, the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian surfer Jesus, he wouldn't hurt a fly. You know, he's such a gentleman, and he's, you know, got perfect complexion and blonde hair, blue eyes, all that stuff. It's just not true. And Jesus is going to come back as a judge later, and he's going to judge people. He came the first time as a suffering servant. But what Paul the Apostle is doing here is talking about his right to do with his creation as he desires. And Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. And the only way it really makes sense is to assume it's individuals. Then you have the objections. If you read the text in such a way that objections don't jump out at you, then you're not understanding the text. If you read it in such a way by reinterpreting it, you know, it's Jacob I loved, the nation that came out of Jacob I loved, and the nation that came out of Esau I hated. Why? Because, you know, they were doing things and God knew what they would do, and so therefore he loved one and hated another. And that just doesn't work. It doesn't work also because of what's before that. See, for the twins were not yet born, had not done anything good or bad. Not done anything good or bad. So that God's purpose, according to his choice, would stand, not because of works. He says he loves one and hates another. If it were nations, which I don't grant that it is, though it can ultimately include that, but no, it's not the main purpose. Even if it's nations, God's saying, I'm loving this nation and not that one, not because of anything they would do. And he still has the same issues there. You see?
No, that makes sense. I appreciate you answering my question. And also, I was curious, do you all post your radio segment online or YouTube
Yes.
or anything?
Yeah. We're in the chat room. I was on YouTube. We had, like, I don't know how many thousands and thousands of followers on YouTube. We've got this wacko atheist guy who put it upon himself to be the judge of righteousness and truth and COVID, because I mentioned COVID stuff. And I've done a great deal of research, and this guy only looks at one side of things, not others. And so he just got me kicked off, so to speak, YouTube. And it's okay, because we're already making plans to move away from YouTube anyway. And so now he's working to get me kicked off of the Matt Slick thing, because he's a self-appointed czar of righteousness. This is how unbelievers are, and lack of tolerance. And so we are moving to Odyssey.com, Odyssee.com. And you can just go there, sign up for an account, and then we have three main channels that we go to, radio shows, Matt Slick, and Carm Videos. And we're going to put everything under one thing and just start producing there. And just like it took a while before, it'll take a while again here, but I'm letting people know. If you want to follow what I'm doing, that's where you got to go. All right? And they'll probably kick us off of Facebook, too, pretty soon, too. Because I say things like this. The CDC, from its own VAERS website, states how many people have died from COVID vaccines and how many have died from all vaccines combined, not counting COVID. And all vaccines combined is 9,183 per October 15th. And over 13,000 have died in the past year and a half, 2 years, from COVID-related vaccines. It's verifiable from the CDC website, and I put the information up on how to do it. And then some people complain and say, well, even VAERS says you can't really trust the information. Oh, so I guess you can't trust CDC's own documentation. Why would they put up a disclaimer about their own information if they publish it? Well, because they don't want people looking at it and saying, hey, this is a serious issue. And the documentation is there, and furthermore, less than 1% of cases and adverse effects are reported on the CDC. So you can, it says less than 1%. You can take the numbers and multiply them times 100 statistically. So, you know, and I've got stuff like that where cloth masks are at best. Whoops. I'll keep talking. Cloth masks are at best 3% effective, folks. Did you know that? This is the research, the documentation from official sources is on the website. And I've got it. Links. You can click on it. You can read this stuff through. Cloth masks are 3% effective. That means 97% of the COVID viruses pass through the material. The surgical masks that you see, those are at, on the average, of 50% effective. 50%, that's on the average. Because they can be as high as 70 and as low as in the 20s, just depending on how it's fitted and the loops around the ears. Well, if that's the case, just we average about the 50. So let me, you know, think about this. You have two glasses of water, and one of them contains a virus that might make you sick. And you, and someone says, here, drink one of those. Would you pick either? You don't know which one it is. Would you pick one? You go, no, I'm not going to do that. You just wouldn't do it. But we're told, put on masks because it'll help stop the spread. It doesn't. Because if 50% of the viruses get through while you're breathing, if you breathe twice, that means viruses are getting through your surgical mask. That's what it means. If you're standing next to somebody, think about this. You're standing next to somebody not too far away, say a couple of feet, and you each have masks on, and you don't know if COVID's been exposed or not, and you're sitting there, you're talking to them, then that means you are exchanging germs. The masks don't stop it. You are absolutely exchanging germs, okay? And so if you're there for 5 minutes talking and 50% of the viruses are stopped at each breath, that means that in two breaths you got an equivalent of 100% of the viruses, because 50% of each time. Well, there you go. And that person's breathing in the same thing. It's just a matter of time, like a minute or two, and you're fully exposed to the full brunt of the virus. And if you take your hands and you adjust that mask, the studies show it's now contaminated and you should not, you should just discard it, and you should put another one on, because your hands are contaminated with all kinds of germs. Do you put it on the mask, which collects moisture. And moisture is a place where viruses and germs and bacteria like to grow. So if you wear them for hours, they actually can develop in the mask and you start inhaling it in your body. Now, this is stuff they're not telling you. The masks rarely do anything that good. N95 masks, they work. Yeah, they stop 95%. And that's the way you should do it if you're going to do something, because that can make a difference. And if you do social distancing, that's fine. You know, I don't have a problem with all that kind of stuff. It's just the facts don't support the severity of what we're doing and the economy shutdown. It just doesn't support it. It doesn't. Why are we shutting it down when the H1N1 virus was 0.69% deadly and the COVID virus is 0.27% deadly of infections? And see, I've studied this stuff. The documentation is on CARM. But nevertheless, I'll be penalized for doing the research, providing documentation. But you know what? That's okay. It just moves us all over to Odyssey and other places where they won't shut us down. We'll have more freedom. Praise God. Hey, folks, five open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have nobody waiting for the last segment. And often, if and when it happens, what I often do is start elaborating on the last topic spoken of. And I'm going to do that. I'm going to go through some of the stuff I've got on my website Now, just so you know, folks, I'm not a doctor, but I am a researcher, and I can do research, I can read papers, I can understand a lot of what's being said, particularly when you study it, you study it. This is what I do for a living. I study things. Now, I've done a lot of research, and what I'm going to go through right now is from the CARM website. You can go there, and you can get this document. I've produced it in the PDF so that it can be printed up on both sides so you can carry it, fold it up, and put it in your pocket. You can carry it. It's not fully, you know, all the stuff I've done, but it's sufficient. And I'm going to go over some of the stuff right now. And all you're going to do to get this information is just go to CARM.org, CARM.org, /COVID. And you can find the documentation. You can see, it just lists the articles. It says a fact sheet. It's a COVID fact sheet. And you can download it. There's a link for downloading, and that's it. You know, you want to email the people, attach it, spread it around, that's fine. So get this. This is one of the things that I think is very, very important, among many, is that the use of human fetal tissue in developing and testing of the COVID vaccines. Now, this is documented where it comes from. Vaccines that used human fetal tissue for the development. AstraZeneca, Johnson & Johnson vaccines, they did that. Vaccines that use fetal tissue in testing. AstraZeneca, Envio, Johnson & Johnson, Moderna, Novavax, Pfizer, and Sanofi. Now, because there's a lot of different virus vaccines out there. Now, here's a question. Should we benefit from experimental procedures done on aborted baby material and this stuff? Is that something that we should be doing? Because we have to ask the question, because the Nazis, they took Jews and they experimented on them medically, and they learned a lot, like how long could they survive in low pressure chambers of air in cold to emulate fighter pilots and bomber pilots up in the air, so they would run these experiments on people, and they learned a great deal. Should we say, oh, okay, well, you know, we know it's all murder and torture, and so we'll just go ahead and use the information? Is it ethical to do that? Are you then saying, okay, it's all right to benefit from the torture and deaths of others? That's a question. Here's something else. Why is it that so much power is being associated with these pharmaceuticals? Did you know that Johnson & Johnson projects $2.5 billion in sales? Moderna, $1.7 billion, is what has already globally, at the second quarter earnings report, Moderna projected $19.2 billion in sales. In Pfizer, it says they project $5.8 billion globally. Do you think that they're going to have a lot of money invested with politicians, with other groups, in order to keep the booster shots coming and stuff like that, and suppress information? It's a question I got to ask. Is it happening? I don't know. But something we have to ask, because you follow the money. That's when you find out stuff. So COVID-19 infections and restrictions, not restricted by vaccines. So at the country level, there appears to be no discernible relationship between percentages of populations fully vaccinated and new COVID-19 cases in the past 7 days. Israel, with 60% of the population fully vaccinated, had the highest COVID-19 cases per 1 million in the last 7 days. This is from an article written just a few weeks ago. Both, that's Iceland and Portugal countries, have over 75% of their populations vaccinated and have more COVID-19 cases per million than countries such as Vietnam and South Africa, which have around 10% of their population fully vaccinated. You getting that? And this is from Springer.com, link.springer.com, and there's the documentation. And even these articles have further links. You can go check them out. So what it's saying is these countries that have a lot of people vaccinated, the majority of the people vaccinated, yet they're still having the most amount of COVID infections, even more so than countries that have fewer vaccinated people per capita. Well, if the vaccines work, the question is, it's a fair question, why is it then that more people are getting COVID in countries that are highly vaccinated? That's a question. How about breakthrough cases? This means you've been vaccinated and you get sick with COVID. Vaccinated individuals account for 87% of COVID hospitalizations over the past week in Wales, in the United Kingdom. 99% of all new cases were under 60 years of age. 87% in the country of Wales. Now, they produced that information. I found it. Does that mean it's the same for every country? Doesn't say so. But, you know, why? If 87% of COVID hospitalizations are from fully vaccinated individuals? That makes me wonder. Countries that are banning or restricting COVID-19 vaccines. Iceland bans Moderna vaccine use due to heart inflammation risk. And there's the, oh, you know, we're going to make that link hyperlink, so it's activated. Don't see that. Sweden, Finland, Denmark, Norway have already limited the use of Moderna vaccines for the same reason. Okay, let me highlight this so I can go back later and fix that link. Okay, good. And so autopsies of COVID-19 vaccinated people sound the alarm. The director of the Pathological Institute of the University of Heidelberg, Germany, has carried out over 40 autopsies on people who have died within 2 weeks of their vaccinations. He expressed alarm over his findings. Politics, science, and media are campaigning against him, and his alarming results are being completely ignored. It would be another red flag regarding the safety of the products. He's got information saying, well, wait a minute, this vaccine is harmful. You know, it's, what are you going to do? The total number of COVID-19 related deaths reported by the CDC is 13,422. The total of all vaccines combined, except for COVID-19, is 9,184. This is decades of information. Of all vaccines totaled, 9,184. And yet, with COVID, it's over 13,000 in a year and a half. It goes on and on and on like this. You can get this information on my website, carm.org. If the vaccines are that great, and I'm not saying don't get vaccinated. I'm not saying that. I believe the vaccines actually save lives. I actually do believe that. I believe the COVID vaccines actually can help. But they also have their bad side, and you need to be informed on what the risks are. That's what I'm saying. That's all. Just be informed. Make your own decision. All right, let's get to Aubrey from Virginia. Hey, Aubrey, welcome. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Slick. My question is, when Cain killed Abel, what was his punishment?
He was exiled, and he was a mark was put upon him. But some people mistakenly say that it was black skin. That's not true. But it was a mark so that people would not kill him. And he was exiled because the judgment of capital punishment of killing people for murder was not yet instituted and verified there. And so he was to be punished and sent out and not really have a home and have to kind of forage around and stuff like that.
Okay. So he's like wandering?
Kind of like that, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he probably could hang out in some cities and things like that, but he would be ostracized. There's debate about exactly what all of it means, but that's one of the main theories. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless, Aubrey. All right. Hey, folks, Sheila from California, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I'm calling because my son, who's in his mid-30s and his wife in his mid-30s, they're very anti-vaccine. They haven't had a vaccine. There's three children in elementary school are not vaccinated, and everything was fine when a doctor said, okay, if you don't want to wear a mask, wear one of those shields. So they wore a shield, and they're in school. But now January is coming up, and they're getting more and more strict. Yeah, well, I see. I'm just wondering, my question, how can he keep them in public school and not get them vaccinated? What is the best way he could possibly do that, if any way at all?
Well, first of all, the shields are useless. They're nothing more than a psychological barrier. That's all it is. They're useless.
Yeah.
So that's the study show. So, you might as well not be wearing anything. All right, so I got my feedback there. Okay. So what I would do, if you could turn me down in the background, because I heard my own voice really messes me up.
hearing my own voice really messes me up.
Can you, or is it on my end? There, we test 1-2. No, it's on your end.
Yeah.
Okay. You there? Okay.
You there?
All right. I'm here, yeah.
Do you hear me, their feedback? I do.
But do you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
I'll just see if I can ignore it. Okay. So one of the things he can do, there we go, now it's gone, is he can get his kids tested and then get a certificate saying they already have the COVID vaccine, the COVID antibodies, which are 13 times better than vaccines. They're up to 13 times stronger and 27 times stronger per Israel for the Delta variant. The documentation's on their website.
So you can take him to the doctor and get a test for antibodies? What is the name of that test?
The doctors would know. Just do the children have it?
The doctors don't know.
Children don't need to wear these masks because it's extremely rare that any children are affected by this because they're just younger. The older you get, the more you're affected. My wife had it. She had a fever for 10 days. I had a fever for one day. I was done. And I'm almost 65 here. So that's one thing. And he also talked to a lawyer. Because what's happening here, this is becoming a control thing, of a social control thing, and the parents have got to say, no, we don't need these masks, and we don't. I got the documentation on my website about the efficacy of the masks. It's vaccines. There's some other studies coming out, which I'm going to have to find, that looks like the vaccines may be causing some problems later on. That's new. But there are actually some evidence coming out
there. I was vaccinated just because everyone was saying get vaccinated. But, I'm not worried about it either way, but I don't think the vaccines are really doing any good anyway. I just want my grandkids to be able to go to public school because I know it would be very hard for her to homeschool three of them. She did that with one, but she's trying to work now, too. She just doesn't have time to homeschool anymore.
Well, that's it's a difficult situation. My wife and I decided to homeschool. She did. I worked. We did not have much. We just didn't have much. But we did not want the secular state to brainwash our children. And so I think that Christians need to pull. That's my opinion. If it's possible, that they can pull their kids out of school and do homeschool co-op groups. There's plenty of them usually everywhere.
Yeah.
And just start teaching them. You know, I could teach computers to kids. My wife could teach things that she teaches. You know, another person down the street can teach math. Another person could teach English. My wife's really good at English. She could teach that. She could teach French. Mm-hmm. So there's people have their abilities, and they statistically find out that homeschooled kids do better than academically than the others in public schools. If it's possible.
Yeah.
You should
what
call
about
back.
Religious
you should
objection?
About well, we don't have time. Call back tomorrow, okay? Let's talk about that, all right?
I will. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Okay, hey, Tom from Des Moines. Sorry about that, folks. We're out of time. May the Lord bless you. And by his grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow. Remember, go to odyssey.com and sign up.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.